This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Right now, though, it's time for our football, fantasy football report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal in Kearney, your fantasy football headquarters with the coldest draft beer in town. I'm just going to jump right into it, Luke. We're not even going to play your fancy music today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to another good night of Thursday football.
All right, let's start there. We've got Dallas and Chicago tonight. I can't seem to figure out Chicago. You know, they seem to be able to hit a barn burner offensively one week, and then nothing happens the next week. How's the matchup tonight? You've got Forte, you've got Bryant, you've got Jeffrey, you've got Marshall. You've got a lot of guys that you're going to usually play in your playoffs or your weekly fantasy football. Anything that's going to be great or negative out of the game tonight?
Well, I think the, in particular, you know, you're going to want to obviously get both those running backs active. They touch the ball a ton, have each had a lot of success this year. The guys, I'm curious to see how they'll do. You know, Brandon Marshall's had a bit of an up-and-down season. He's battled some injuries. You know, the Dallas defense has actually quietly been pretty tough against opposing wide receivers, you know, from a fantasy perspective. They've only given up 8 touchdowns to wideouts all year, you know, which is a pretty solid number. And, you know, Marshall is coming off a couple down weeks, just 74 yards in combined the last two after a couple really strong games. So I think that'll be interesting. I think that'll tell the story about how Chicago's offense functions if they can throw the football, if Jay Cutler's on point and Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey are playing good.
So if you have a choice to play like DeMarco or Dez, you think Dallas will have more success running the ball or throwing the ball tonight?
I don't think Dallas is going to have any trouble moving the football, period. That Bears defense is a mess. You know, giving up a lot of yards and a lot of points all season long. And you know, we just saw Detroit, who had been pretty terrible offensively for a few weeks, kind of spring to life. Both Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate performed well. You know, Stafford put up some great numbers, and Joey Bell even ran the football well on them.
Let's go to Mark. He says, would you go with Evans, even though he has a tough matchup, or Stills at wide receiver?
I would probably give a little bit of an advantage to Kenny Stills. You know, I know it's tough given what Evans has done over the course of the whole season, but Kenny Stills is clearly, you know, Drew Brees' top deep threat and probably top overall wide receiver at this point of the year. Marcus Colston's really fallen off and has for a couple seasons now. Brandon Cooks is out and now on IR. Jimmy Graham has been a little bit up and down. I really like Stills' big playability. You know, that Carolina defense has actually given up the second most passing touchdowns to wide receivers in the league. So I think he has a nice game, and Detroit's really just been that solid against wideouts. So you can sit Evans another week.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire answering a few fantasy football questions, and we'll get back to the Nebraska coaching hire. Then Mark kind of follows that up. Would you play Evans over Bell or Gore? He says, I can start a fourth wide receiver instead of a second running back.
It's tough to sit a guy against that Raiders run defense. You know, they've been terrible most of the year, and they've gone up now after Trey Mason just shredded them. They've given up the most fantasy points to running backs, but I'm not a big believer right now in that 49ers offense at all. I think Frank Gore doesn't have much left in the tank at this point, and they'd be surprised to see him do much better than about 50 or 60 yards. While I could see Evans, you know, having a bad game, the upside is way, way higher than a guy like Frank Gore, but I would still start Joyke Bell over him.
I think Andy and Carney has just turned his entire team over to you, Luke. So let's start. Pick out of these. First quarterback, Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson?
It's actually pretty close because they both have good matchups. On the road, as tough as Green Bay has been against quarterbacks at times, I like the way Ryan's played these last couple of weeks. Julio Jones looks like he's really back to form. And I think they're obviously going to have to throw the football a ton the way Green Bay plays at home. But I'd give Wilson a little bit of an advantage in this one just because of what he's been able to do with his legs. He's also been pretty crisp throwing the football the last three games, almost 70% completion against a pretty bad Philly pass defense. I would go with Wilson in a close one.
Need two of these three wide receivers, Jordy Nelson, Brandon Marshall, Roddy White, standard league.
That one's pretty easy because what we do know right now is that Marshall's playing tonight and that Dallas defense, you know, like I said, they've been tough against wide receivers, but he's still Brandon Marshall, and they are still going to move the football. I think Chicago, that is. Jordy's a must-start, and White has the Monday night game. He's dealing with an ankle injury. I think he'll play, but he's questionable, and you might not know until, you know, Sunday or Monday, so you have to suit up Marshall.
Roddy, then he goes into flex. Denard Robinson, Isaiah Crowell, or Roddy White?
I'd probably give a little bit of an edge to Robinson. He's had a couple down weeks, but he gets a pretty nice matchup. Houston hasn't been an especially tough defense. He's at home. I think they're going to run the football a little bit more and try to commit to that. Isaiah Crowell, you know, is also dealing with an injury, the same as White. He's got a hip injury right now that's got him questionable. He didn't practice, I believe, yesterday at all. So there's a chance he sits against Colts, too.
I think they're throwing some easy ones at you here, Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Jim says, I need two wide receivers, Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham, Martavis Bryant.
Well, Beckham's a must-start in any league. I think a top-10 play every week. Doesn't matter, but this one's a particularly good one for him after we saw what DeAndre Hopkins did against Tennessee last week. And, you know, between Marshall and Bryant, although Marshall's had the down games, and he's still – I think I'm going to trust him a lot more to find that end zone, even though Bryant had a nice hot streak. He's down lately, and it looks like Marcus Wheaton has maybe bypassed him again in the depth chart.
Luke fires off to the Twitter address. I need some help, Big Ben or Cam Newton?
You know what? Neither has a good matchup. I wouldn't really like either this week, but I'm going to trust the guy who's got 26 touchdown passes on the season a lot more, even though Roethlisberger's been inconsistent, and the Bengals have been a tough pass defense. Actually, this year's passing scores allowed all year. I'd give him an advantage in a really important divisional rivalry game.
Jeffrey, I think we've hit everything that I have in front of me for Luke. You can tell me if I'm wrong. Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com, always answers your fantasy football questions. At quarterback, league, Matt Stafford or Ryan Tannehill?
That one's a lot closer than you would think, but I would actually give the edge to Tannehill. Baltimore's given up a lot of yardage, 13 touchdowns as well over the last four games. Tannehill didn't get in the end zone last week, but I think he bounces back. It's at home. You know, it has a ton of playoff implications. I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a really nice performance in that one.
Chance to salvage. All you got to do is get in the playoffs and anybody can win, right, Luke?
Exactly.
I'm going to let you get back to your day, and we're going to get back to what we do here in Nebraska, and that's talk Huskers. So we'll do it again next week, Luke. Always appreciate the advice, and have a good one.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com. Doug Dudas, Steve Anderson here at Bandits in Grand Island. Mike Riley of Oregon State, within the last half hour, named Nebraska's new head football coach.
Oh, I hang around, an inner circle.
I let you hang out to dry there, didn't I? You had a fantasy question.
I did have one.
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to go there, but I've developed a problem at tight end with Jimmy Graham now. He had no targets, no points last week. I wanted to see how Luke was going to bail me out of this one because it's been a disastrous year. At any rate, back to my inner circle of friends. These guys are longtime season ticket holders that contribute not only through those tickets, but a ton of money into the Husker Athletic Department. I've got one friend that's owned a Skybox from day one. We're talking the guy and his partner that have invested over $1 million over the course of the last 10 to 15 years. Now, I hate to harp on the past, especially now that Sean Eichhorst has made a decision and it's time to move on in the future. But almost to a man, all of these guys are blaming the original firing on guys like Lee Barfneck and Dirk Chatelain of the Omaha World Herald. And they were all in Bo's corner. I get a feeling, knowing these guys for a long, long time, that this is going to be a tough one, the new hire, to explain. Yay or nay? Monty, are you still listening?
I am, but recap that last part. You blacked out a little bit here.
Well, these diehard fans that I call really close friends here in Grand Island are blaming the media primarily for where Nebraska has positioned themselves now after the firing of Bo Pelini, because they were very content with going 9-3 since the demise of the football program and the debacle created by Steve Peterson and Bill Callahan. I look at this hire as being a tough one to sell to some of these diehards. I don't know. Maybe I'm dead wrong. I hope I am.
Well, the first thing you got to remember that the job of the media and the job of the media is also to sell newspapers and create some, to give different viewpoints and try to stir up some different things. And I'm talking about certain media types. It wasn't a secret that one of Bo Pelini's weaknesses was his relationship with the media. My question I always ask different people was, if Bo Pelini was better at that, would there be such an outcry and such criticism if he was just better at talking to the media and better at communicating and more open to that sort of thing? I think that is a factor. I think a lot of media people, whether it be in Nebraska or whether it be at Alabama or whether it be wherever, are going to be a lot less critical of a hire or of a coach if they like that person. I think they're still human beings, and I think that's the case.
Doug and Daddy Show live from Bandits in Grand Island. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson, used to be our media mentor, and I still count him among those because now he is, of course, the longtime announcer at Fodder Park. Folks know him for a number of years. Monty Kratzenstein, folks know him from all over the state of Nebraska, and his time playing with the Huskers is in our studio. Mike Riley was making $1.5 million. Bo Pelini was around $3.1 million. So I don't think, and shocked isn't the word I want to use here, but I will be very agitated if he gets more than that, because there's no need to. He's already going to get his salary doubled. If he gets the $3.1 million, we're not going to be giving, or we better not be giving, the $5 million that was talked about out there. I've also, and I'm going over everything, everything's being posted real quickly here. Mike Riley was named the second most underrated college football coach by his peers behind David Cutcliffe of Duke. So I guess, is that a shining endorsement? I don't know. Let's get to some more. Our buddy Crick has weighed in. He was hoping they'd get a Nebraska guy with some Nebraska ties. But, again, we just don't know. We got to give a little time. And that's when Kenny and Carney jumps all over my case. He says, really? You gave the guy 15 minutes and you already want him fired. Settle down. Now, again, I don't know if I said I want Mike Riley fired. That's not what I'm saying. Because all week I said, I don't really care who it is. They better get it done quickly because you have told me from the University of Nebraska that the reason you fired Bo is because he couldn't win the, quote, big game. This comes, let's see what else we got. Johnny in Kearney says, great hire. And I know this comes from a Southern Cal guy. He goes, my pick for USC back in the day. He goes, you guys just landed another Dr. Tom. Congratulations. And then he gives me the Trojan fight on. Well, let's not, somewhere in between there of 3 years and Dr. Tom, right, Monty?
Yeah, let's pull the reins back just a little bit on that bad boy. Let me piggyback a little bit on what you said here. You made that comment, and it was not a secret to anyone, Doug, that you were. I've said before that Bo was such a polarizing personality, and pro Bo, anti Bo, whatever. And you were very supportive of Bo Pelini and what he has done, and I don't disagree with that at all. You have to think also about why Bo Pelini was fired. And I'll go back to the blanket statement, and you can comment on it. It isn't necessarily always what you do. It's how you do it. And I asked that question, I think, a couple weeks ago when I was on here. If Bo Pelini was 9-3 and did not get blown out in those games, would people view his success differently? If he was 9-3 and he had more of a personality like a Coach Osborne or a media friendly or fan friendly guy, would he be viewed differently? I think both those things are true, but I don't know. You have any thoughts on those?
Well, that's why I don't think everybody wants that perfect guy. And that's why I posed a couple of weeks ago. Do you want a football team that's 6-6, 7-5 and those losses are all by less than 10 points, or do you want to be 10-2 and every once in a while you take a thumping? Again, a lot of teams took thumpings. It seems like there's a lot of thumpings going on out there, even from top 10 programs that that can get rolled up from time to time. So I there's some people that say, I don't care what he's like as long as we win. Hmm. And there's other people, I'll guarantee you, he can be a nice guy. He can be Mo Ibe. He can be a nice guy, but you know what? You better win some games. You can be the nicest guy ever, but you better win some games, Steve-O.
There's that undefinable word called class, which I think Bo failed in a lot of areas over the course of the last 7 years and was part of the undoing of him in the eyes of Sean Eichhorst and a lot of faithful Nebraska Husker fans. I trust that Eichhorst has found a guy that fulfills that word class to come in and run this program, and I assume that he has.
Let's go to a few more here. Chris from Kearney says, hey, Oregon State beat Wisconsin in 2012. Just saying. our friend Postal Chuck up in Broken Bow. 2003 hire took 41 days. 2007 hire took 8 days. 2014 hire, 4 days. We're getting better at this. That's what Postal Chuck says. This comes from H-Man, says it's just an epic fail. He keeps firing off this to me that he doesn't like it here. Mike Riley, the new head football coach at the University of Nebraska. Jim McElwain, the new head football coach at Florida. Two major programs getting coaches from Colorado State and Oregon State in their last venues. That doesn't mean that that's where they were prepped and took all of their knowledge from. We need to get a break in here. Take a look at what some of the current and former players are saying, and we'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. And of course, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888 455 3776. We are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth in Grand Island. It broke during the Doug and Daddy show here today, and I'm fairly confident that we were one of the first, if not the first, here in our area to break that news. It just happened to work out that way. I didn't get a call from Sean Eichhorst. But here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth at Bandits in Grand Island, come in and join us for lunch or any time where there's always something going on, and throw out your opinion on Nebraska's new hire. We'll have more after this.
ESPN Superstation. Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. Well, Nebraska has a new head football coach. Mike Riley comes to Nebraska after 14 seasons as a head coach at Oregon State. Riley has led Oregon State to 93 wins and a 6-2 record in postseason bowl games. In addition to his time at Oregon State, Riley has served as the head football coach of the San Diego Chargers, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the Canadian Football League, where he won two Grey Cup championships, and the San Antonio Riders in the World Football League. Riley will be formally introduced at a news conference at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. The 12th-ranked Nebraska women's basketball team beat 9th-ranked Duke 60-54 in the ACC Big Ten Challenge last night at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Rachel Terrio scored 17 points for the Huskers. Haley Sample pitched in with 16. Emily Cady had 13. Nebraska head coach Connie Yori says Sample had a great game.
Haley was just really good, period. She was, you know, good on the offensive end, made the free throws when she needed to, and then defensively she was really sound. I mean, she guarded, who didn't she guard in that game? I mean, you name it, she guarded, you know, she guarded Greenwell, and she guarded, you know, fours and fives, and I mean, that's the versatility that she has, but, you know, she was really good on both ends.
Nebraska is now 7-0 for the first time since the 2009-2010 season. They'll play at Alabama on Sunday. Tip-off will be at 2. Pre-game show begins at 1:45 on 1230 KHAS. And Nebraska basketball standout Teran Petaway has been named to the Naismith Trophy Men's 50 Watch List. The Naismith Trophy is presented to the top men's and women's college basketball players of the year. Petaway is currently averaging 21 points per game for the Huskers. Nebraska will play host to Creighton on Sunday beginning at 6 o'clock. Pre-game show begins at 5 on the Breeze, KOIQ 94.5. Creighton last night lost to Tulsa 77-64. That's sports.
Protecting them is something you've always done. It is something you will always do. But sometimes it's complicated, and you may need a little help along the way. Parents, take a stand and visit us online at positivepressure.org for answers, tips, and support about protecting your child from alcohol abuse.
Powered by Buffalo County Community Partners.
From AgView.net, I'm Ryan Martin with a market update. As we take a look at action at mid-session on the grain markets, we are higher on corn, on beans, and we're back closer to unchanged on wheat. However, we are still negative there overall. Don't really have much of a change in the outlook going forward either, as we continue to see that the exports are what's driving corn and beans today. We've poked our head fairly significantly back above some resistance levels, but that just means the close is going to be the most important factor out there when you get right down to it. 1.7 million metric tons of corn sold on the export sales report, 1.8 million metric tons of beans. The highest trade guesses for those were 800,000 and 850,000 respectively. So you can see why the market is in a bit of a tizzy. As we take a look at corn, we're up about 4.25 to 5.5 cents. Beans up 6 to 6.5. Meanwhile, bean meal's up anywhere from 230 to 320 a ton. On wheat in Chicago, fractionally lower, down 0.5 to 0.25 cents. In Kansas City, we're down 0.75 to 3. On the livestock side, boy, I tell you what, been a rough and tumble day trading both sides. Cattle futures, live cattle at least, wanting to go lower, but there's expectations that cash might actually do better than what little we saw yesterday. So right now, live cattle anywhere from 25 down to 17 up. Feeders are still strong, still looking at a very short supply there. Up 160 on January feeders at 236.42. Hogs are mixed as well, anywhere from 30 cents up to 40 cents down. Outside markets right now showing energies, crude oil down 97 cents to a dollar. Meanwhile, gasoline's down about a penny. Heating oil, diesel down 1.5 cents. Financial market showing the dollar index off 52 points at 88.48. Precious metals normally would like that, but gold right now down a dollar or two. Silver up 15 to 17 cents. Platinum and palladium both are stronger. More market information available at agview.net. I'm Ryan Martin.
Doug and Daddy Show, another extended edition. We were on Sunday. We went for 3 hours on Monday. I don't think we're going to go 3 hours today, but we are live here at Bandits, where folks come on in, enjoy some lunch. I think a lot of folks are just in the office at work talking among themselves, and bring them on down to Bandits. Nebraska has a new head football coach. It's Oregon State's Mike Riley. Paul Feinbaum, I'm going to read some tweets here for you, folks. Paul Feinbaum, SEC Network, said Mike Riley once turned down Alabama, his alma mater. The Tide ended up with Mike Price, who was fired before coaching a game in 2003. Jeremy Crabtree, national recruiting analyst, says Mike Riley fits what Huskers need on the trail. Very innovative recruiter, great use of social media, edits, and yes, even airplanes, loves the hire. Here's one. Joe Shad, our ESPN man. Nebraska has hired not only an excellent coach in Mike Riley, but one of the most approachable, level-headed, likable coaches on the planet. So Mike won't be yelling at reporters at halftimes of football games, apparently. Dennis Dodds from CBS, props to Sean Eichhorst for going strong and swift after Mike Riley. The media will love him. Mike Riley was always squeezing blood out of a tomato in Corvallis. More infrastructure at Nebraska. Love the hire. Damon Benning, of course, host of Sharp and Benning in Omaha. Complete 180 from what we've seen in terms of style and demeanor. Has had to thrive in less than ideal situations. Wins and losses doesn't tell the story. Oregon State star to this day. Coach Riley remembers the names of every player's parents. Joe Shad tweets. Some reaction to any of that there, Bonnie Kratzenstein?
Yes, first of all, a lot of those names of guys that tweeted are guys that I respect a lot and know some stuff. And it doesn't surprise me. As I said, my initial comment was, you will be hard pressed to find somebody in the business with his peers or in the business that will say negative things about Mike Riley, which is kind of rare. The other thing is, I would like everybody to keep watching their Twitter feeds and that sort of thing, because I'm waiting for someone in the national or media or in the business that doesn't like the hire.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Ready?
Hit
all
me.
Right. But we got Josh Mitchell.
National. I want national.
I'm just going to give you a few more here. Josh Mitchell. Laugh out loud. Y'all fired Bo from Mike Riley. Good thing I'm out. Going to enjoy this last one with my brothers, then peace. Now, Josh then comes back a little bit later on and says, I have nothing against Mike Riley. He'll probably be a great coach for this university. I'm just a Bo guy. Be mad at me if you please. Some of the players are saying, let's get to work. Sam Foltz says, sure glad I have an email account. Wouldn't know anything about the program I play for if it wasn't for email. Scott Shanley, dear Bo Pelini, on behalf of Husker Nation, we are so sorry. Hashtag, really, Mike Riley?
So Scott Shanley is, to me, and I don't want to discredit the other guys you talked about, but Scott Shanley probably from a bigger picture perspective is the first one. That's what's going to be interesting to me is to look through and see reactions. And again, you got to throw out the knee-jerk reactions. I think you have to throw out the reactions of seniors who have given their proverbial life to Bo Pelini over the last 4 or 5 years. I think you got to throw those out because they just aren't open-minded enough. And I don't blame them. I'd be the same way. They have so much respect and so much love for him that no matter again who they hired, that wasn't going to make them happy. So, but I really am intrigued to one of the things that has suffered the last few years is the national perception of Nebraska, right? We've talked about that in general, being relevant and so on. I really want to hear, you know, what the talking heads of all these different networks and so on, media outlets say about it. That's intriguing to me.
Gary Barnett has been quoted as saying there isn't a bad word out there about Mike Riley. He's going to bring a pro-style attack. That's what he does, and he turns out pro-style quarterbacks. Courtney Grigsby. I know everybody wants to hear from Courtney. 9-3 record to a 5-7 record. The logic baffles me. It's Mike Riley, the new head football coach at Nebraska. People like DeMornay Pearsonell. Playbook, please. Back to balling. Michael Rose Ivy. Got a coach finally. Let's get back to work. If this is our guy to get us over the hump, then I'm all for it. Time to start a new chapter. Love most about the hire, a lot of NFL coaching and some playing experience on the staff. Can't wait to meet them. So that's just some of what is out there about the new head football coach at the University of Nebraska, Mike Riley. Steve-O?
Monty, two-sided question here directed at you. In the interim now, are you concerned about the preparation for the bowl game? Still not knowing where we're going to go, who we're going to play under these situations and the fiery belly that the underside of that Nebraska football team that certainly has strong opinions in favor of the now departed Bo Pelini. And two, during this transition, are some of those Husker coaches, and I know we talked about this during the last break, are they going to be maintained? Should they be maintained and be hired on with the new coaching regime coming forward?
Steve, I think that if you look at history and every time a guy that is not tied into the area or the program already, when they are hired, one of their goals is to make that transition as smooth as possible. I would think that when Mike Riley takes over, I'm always interested to see how many of his staff he brings with him, how many stay at Oregon State. But I think he would want, in my opinion, 2 or 3 staff members to maintain and help with the transition. I'm very biased. Everybody knows what I think of Ron Brown, his coaching ability and his leadership ability. I think a guy like Ron Brown would be perfect in that way if he wants to, because he could maintain some consistency. You know, Coach Kaz and the defensive line has done a great job, especially in the recruiting side of things and with his connections to the Big Ten. You know, guys like that you want to maintain some element of consistency and help in the transition. That's what I would guess. That's what I would think. Your question about, you know, the bowl game and so on, it's really a unique situation. And when you, again, look at history, you see two different things happening. You see, you know, players going out and fighting for their brothers, fighting for their ex-coaches or the guys that are not going to be with them anymore and really put on a great performance. You've also seen guys who are ready for a transition and don't compete in a bowl game. I've seen it both ways. I would be surprised, based on what this team has said about the respect they have for their coaches, not just Bo Pelini, but their coaches and their teammates. I would be surprised if we didn't play very well in whatever bowl game we go to. I don't think that's a problem. It's going to be kind of this last hurrah for, you know, the coaches. The coaches are going to be coaching for an audition for other jobs. The players are going to try to win to keep things for these seniors. I would be very surprised. I'm always intrigued as well of how involved the new head coach is in any of this process. A lot of times you see them take a total hands-off approach and just kind of observe and watch. Sometimes you see them not even be part of it, start the recruiting process and not be a part of the team and the practices and the preparation because, you know, this is kind of this year's team. So that's an interesting thing to look at as well.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, here at Bandits in Grand Island with Mike Riley of Oregon State, named the new head football coach at the University of Nebraska. I want to read a couple of more tweets, and we will keep rolling here with the news that people want to hear about, the new head football coach at Nebraska. And, of course, if Nebraska goes to the Holiday Bowl, they would be out there in San Diego in Pac-12 country. And I'll tell you what, and you guys can think about this during the break, Sean Eichhorst had this guy hired a long time ago. Dirk Chatlin says it might have been when we were talking. He goes, you know, when they went through this process last year, where they thought maybe Coach Pelini wouldn't even survive the first year under Eichhorst, you had to be looking at a Mike Riley. This comes from Big Red, JD Pack fan. He says, excellent reputation, lots of positive talk, need to learn a little more, let's give him a chance. Well, yeah, we're going to give him a chance, heck yeah. This comes from Nate. I personally love the hire. Experience and Oregon State resources are not the best, had some great wins, and has an offense I like. Mark says, hey, yesterday you said any hire would make you say, eh. Are you still saying, eh? Or did this make you say, wow, Bill Callahan style, a little wow? I would say I was a little bit, it was a little bit more than eh, because this was one of, I mean, you had a list of 40 guys. He wasn't on it. Nate says, the media guys in Lincoln are comparing him to Tim Miles, in style and knowledge. This is the guy we got. Not too sure about this, but we'll see, says Nate. Thanks for the emails, the tweets. Quincy says, Mike who? Call me crazy, Duda, but it wasn't the splash I was personally hoping for, but better than a few names out there. And Nate says, Jeremy Crabtree likes the fit and says he is a great recruiter. So one thing that I've noticed already is there is a ton of positive feedback out there. As Monty mentioned earlier, we haven't really heard anything negative about the man. Nate says, ESPN Media says it's a great hire, developed talent with little resources in Oregon State. Does that make this a good thing due to the resources we have and can get him? He seems like a Tim Miles personality who is great for the university. What do you think, Doug? Well, hey, people that know him love him. So I think he's, again, I think we're going to definitely like the guy. But I'm going to tell you what, I've been listening to all you Husker fans, not just this week since the firing of Bo Pelini, but the last couple of years, and all of you that are bitching and moaning about the blowout losses, if it doesn't change, you will not have any different opinion about Mike Riley as far as winning and losing. You may not be jumping up and down and have that sideline demeanor like Bo does, but will that mean the fire is placed differently? We'll take a break. Be right back.
Superstation Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will. The Sports Center update on ESPN brought to you by Plum Creek Motors in Lexington, where everyone gets a great deal and a great deal more. While the search is over, Nebraska has hired Mike Riley as its new head football coach. Riley comes to Nebraska after 14 seasons as head coach at Oregon State. Riley has led Oregon State to 93 wins and a 6-2 record in postseason bowl games. In addition to his time at Oregon State, Riley has served as the head coach of the San Diego Chargers, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the Canadian Football League, where he won two Grey Cup championships, and the San Antonio Riders in the World Football League. Riley will be formally introduced at a news conference at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Hastings College is ranked number 23 in the first NAIA Division II Women's Basketball Coaches Top 25 poll of the season. The Broncos had been ranked number 5 in the preseason poll, but have won just 5 of their first 10 games. Morningside is ranked number 1, Concordia is 3rd, and Doan is number 21. Indiana Wesleyan is ranked number one in the men's poll. Midland is second. Morningside is tied for 11th. Dakota Wesleyan is tied for 15th. Hastings will play at Briarcliff on Saturday. Women's game will tip off at 2, with the men to follow at 4 o'clock. We'll have both games on 1230 KHIS, beginning with a pregame show at 1:45. The 12th-ranked Nebraska women's basketball team beat 9th-ranked Duke 60-54 in the ACC Big Ten Challenge last night at Pinnacle Bank Arena. The Huskers jumped out to a 22-9 lead in the first half. Nebraska head coach Connie Yori.
Yeah, that gives you confidence, and I think when you can start like that, it gets the fans engaged, and our kids were feeling good, and obviously better than the other way, having to dig yourself out of a hole. It was it's about as good as we can start, obviously, against that level of team. And they played us man early, and, we did a pretty good job against it. And then they went to their two zones, and it was a little harder for us to score against that.
Nebraska is now 7-0 for the first time since the 2009-2010 season. They'll play at Alabama on Sunday. Tip-off will be at 2 o'clock. Pre-game show begins at 1:45 on 1230 KHIS. Tulsa beat the Creighton men's basketball team 77-64 last night. Austin Chapman led the Jays with 19. Creighton is now 6-2. Northwestern is now 2-0 in pool play at the NAIA Volleyball National Championships in Sioux City. The Red Raiders beat Indiana Wesleyan 3-1 yesterday. Northwestern will play Missouri Baptist University today. In other action, Midland lost to the College of Idaho 3-2, and Briarcliff lost to Lindsey Wilson out of Kentucky 3-1. Midland will play Concordia University today, while Briarcliff will take on Davenport University. That's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
For quality service, the only place to go is Plum Creek Motors.
You can buy the best and say for sure that'll make you happy, don't you know? And we came along with this little song so you know where to go.
Now, Mama and I have been telling you that the best place to get a new or pre-owned vehicle is Plum Creek Motors. Now I'm going to tell you the best place to get quality service for your vehicle. Surprise, it's Plum Creek Motors. They have factory-trained service technicians that'll get you back on the road fast and at a fair price. From a simple tune-up to a major repair, they're your best choice. Plum Creek Motors, the place to go for new vehicles, pre-owned vehicles, and quality service, too. They'll save you money.
Now we've told you where and told you why, and we wouldn't tell you wrong. Folks every day keep a heading that way, so why don't you come on along?
Who? Plum Creek Motors. Where? Across the street from the Dawson County Fairgrounds in Lexington. Why? Because they've got you covered for all your automotive needs, and they'll save you money, too. Plum Creek Motors, where you'll get a great deal and a great deal more.
Iron Eagle here on Westwood One with a Thursday night football preview sponsored by Jared. Shop Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, with 5 times its selection of ordinary jewelry stores. Find a store or shop anytime at jared.com. Join Mike Mayock and me for the Cowboys and the Bears from Soldier Field. Dallas is 8-4, but has lost 3 of its last 5. Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett says they're not discouraged.
Other teams are going to have success on a given play in a series, in a quarter of a game, and you have to keep coming back. You have to handle the adversity just like you have to handle the success. Put it behind you and move on to the next challenge. So that happens within games. It happens from week to week. The best teams are able to do that.
Now the Cowboys face the Bears in Chicago on Thursday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
If you've been looking for Pandora jewelry, look no further. You'll find it at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, bracelets, and rings available at Jared. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection. Visit Jared starting December 1st and receive a free Pandora white porcelain sleigh ornament with white gold accents for your tree with your Pandora purchase of $125 or more. See store for details.
There's a lot of space inside the new Hyundai Sonata, more than Camry or Accord, which means the Sonata has more new car smell. Oh, everyone loves that new car smell. And in the Sonata, there's even more of it. Oh. With available heated front and rear seats and heated steering wheel, you can really get cozy in all this space. The entirely new Hyundai Sonata. One drive, and you'll get it. Learn more at allnewsonata.com.
Passenger volume claim based on manufacturer's website. For more information, please visit HyundaiUSA.com.
show rolls on from Bandits in Grand Island. If you're looking for a little late lunch like we're going to be doing, because the expanded show today with the new head football coach at Nebraska, about an hour old, a little more than an hour old now, Mike Riley from Oregon State is coming in. Doug Duda along with Steve Anderson here in Grand Island at Bandits, and in our studios in Kearney, back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, is Monty Kratzenstein, former Husker tight end, still with a few connections into the program. Let's get back to some of the tweets and emails. This comes from Sean. I'm pretty sure that Mike Riley has turned down both Southern Cal and Alabama in the past. Hashtag cautiously optimistic. Mark says, could possibly see Frost as the OC, the potential head coach in waiting, or is that wishful thinking? We were just talking about that during the break, guys. The biggest drawback to that would be, what if Mike Riley fails at Nebraska? Then how could you look at a Scott Frost or a big-time defensive coordinator coming in and then being able to either take over the program or stay? It would be more than just a head coach fail if you don't get things going here. And Michael Rose Ivy says on his Twitter account here, if I can get that right page pulled up, says, I hope he brings that jet sweep with him like he used Jacquez Rogers for that Pearson L kid. That's six all day, every day. And one of the tweets out there from Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports Director, Monty, you were telling me about it, said that Frost knows Riley, and that ain't happening. But, hey, they're in the Pac-12. Of course they know each other.
Yeah, and I think they're also guys that have some similarities as far as their philosophies and how they do things. So I think they know each other and they respect each other very, very much so. And, by the way, they're also coaching in rival universities. So, yeah, they do. I've always said this, and we said this off air, I've always really shook my head at the idea that Scott Frost is going to return to Nebraska as an offensive coordinator. I don't – why would he? I mean – It wouldn't solidify his resume any more to be this offensive coordinator at Nebraska than it is to be the offensive coordinator at Oregon, believe me. And his one weakness, as you mentioned, was the fact that he is not a head coach. And that's one of the reasons why he didn't get, if he really wanted this job, why he didn't get this job, because he hasn't been a head coach. So him being an offensive coordinator in a less than lateral move, sorry, people, but that's a less than lateral move to go from Oregon to Nebraska. He wouldn't do it. I just don't see that happening. Period. He's gonna get a head coaching job somewhere to get that experience. We're a little bit away from that.
Monty discovered during the break also the age of Mike Riley. So I open it up to you, young bucks, Doug and Monty, for all of us 61-year-olds in the world. We are still overwhelmed with experience and wanting to share our knowledge. Monty, first off, from your perspective, the age kind of surprised you, didn't it?
It did, and not because that we would hire someone his age, but if I asked you guys, how old do you think Mike Riley is? And I watched a little bit of college football. If someone would have asked me that, I would have said mid-50s. He looks young. He acts young. He coaches young. He's 61 years old, and that surprised me a little bit. But, you know, as you said, speaking for the people that are in the 60s, not me yet, that's not such a bad thing. But that's interesting to me that he's older than what I thought.
Yeah, well, Doug, for those that are watching on TV, how old do you think I look? He just fell off his chair.
I've known Steve-O from a long time, and he just doesn't look as good in the roller skates as he used to. Courtney Grigsby, I'm a diehard Husker fan. I'll be optimistic for this situation, but I would have rather had a younger coach than we can get years out of. Mick Stoltenberg, excited to meet Coach Riley and get to work. Ron Kellogg, we just need to see who the coordinators are first before we start burning stuff. Prince Amukamara, welcome to the Husker family, Coach Mike Riley. Zach Potter, one thing I like about the Mike Riley hire is that Eichhorst knew this was his guy from the get-go and the process didn't drag out. More to get to from you, the listeners, the fans. Riley is older now than Tom Osborne when he retired, folks. Put that in your pipe. Trent says, Mike Riley is a solid coach and I'm excited to see what he can do with the Huskers. My cousin has played for him the last 4 years and considers him to be a second father. He had a tough recruiting mountain to climb with the Nike machine down the street. Runs a good balanced offense. His quarterback should go high in the draft next year. Had a receiver go early in the draft last year to the Saints. He is a class guy, says Trent. So there you go. I think, amazingly enough, I'm almost caught up on all of the folks firing stuff off to us. So appreciate that. We do have one more break that we need to take here. And don't forget, we will be bringing you Hail Varsity from 4 until 6. Chris Schmidt and Gus will be together from 4 to 6 today, bringing you all of that. Just 1 minute to get away from this talk to remind you that there's a lot of other things going on in the world of sports, but nothing, Monty and Steve, more important than Nebraska football. I want to know who's going to foot the bill to that poor Lincoln teacher who let Bo Pelini and the team into Lincoln North Star. You talk about ludicrous. Somebody ought to be getting – the person that's making a big deal out of this ought to be in trouble, not the guy that let them in there as a gesture during this month of December. Tools, total tools. UNK basketball home tonight. They will take on Missouri Southern State to open the conference season. Women at 5:30. Missouri Southern's women are not rated in the national rankings, but they are undefeated. The men will follow at 7:30. The Nebraska women stay undefeated. They beat Duke 60-54 last night. The start of the high school basketball season is tonight. The rankings are out. The games we have before our Thursday night football game here on ESPN between the Cowboys and Bears, we will have the Kearney Catholic Parkview Christian boys game. That's Garth Glissman, folks. You hear him on Hail Varsity. He's the boys coach at Parkview Christian. They are a third-ranked team in D2, but they gave the Stars all they wanted last year in the semifinals of this tournament. It's just a boys game. It's tonight at 6:30, and both those teams are rated. On 12:30 KHAS, Hastings High will open at home with Seward. Kennesaw is at Blue Hill on the Breeze, 94.5. Pleasanton will host Axtell, Classic Hits, 98.9. Tomorrow, Millard West at Kearney High opens it up here on ESPN. The Kearney Catholic games from the tournament that they are in, called the Central Catholic Early Season, we'll also have that on Saturday. And then Adams Central Holdridge tomorrow will be on the Breeze. And St. Cecilia Columbus SCOTUS, the new girls coaching staff, and the boys and girls all rated there. They will face off tonight in Columbus. We'll head towards the finish line of this Thursday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show live here at Bandits. Come by and join us not only today but Saturday, where their domestic beer buckets are 6 for $12. Wing specials there for you. And Friday and Saturday nights tend to close. $2 wells, $2 domestic bottles. Nebraska has a new head football coach. Final reaction after this.
It's Jeremy with Ellerbrock Norris. Myself, along with all the staff at Ellerbrock Norris, thank you for your business during the past year and wish you every happiness for the holidays and the coming new year.
This is Darren Hefty, co-host of Ag PhD. I'm just giving a shout-out to the Husker fans and farmers listening to let you know that regardless of the markets, balanced crop nutrition pays. Agriculture Liquid Fertilizers has the research, technology, and products you need to grow a great crop. We use AgriLiquid on our farm. Maybe you should, too. Agriculture Liquid Fertilizers. Proud to support Husker athletics and farmers everywhere. Visit AgriLiquid.com to find a dealer near you.
Take a minute now to mark your calendar or planner so you don't miss the Garden City Farm Show, January 22nd through the 24th at the Finney County Fairgrounds. Be one of the first 500 visitors each day, and we'll treat you to lunch. Plus, there's free parking and free admission. We'll have a wide range of farm equipment, demonstrations, door prizes, and an array of speakers discussing topics that benefit you the most. The Garden City Farm Show, January 22nd through the 24th at the Finney County Fairgrounds. For show details, go to GardenCityFarmShow.com.
Mark your calendars for Spring Valley's 25th Annual Production Sale to be held March 4th, 2015 at the ranch near Agra, Kansas. We'll be selling 100 Angus and 50 Balancer Bulls. Sire groups include Power Tool, Keneally Focus, Infinity, Keneally Shrek, PA Safeguard, Consensus 7229, Keneally Cavalry, Upshot, Angus Valley, and Final Answer. All bulls will be DNA tested for enhanced EPDs and carry our full guarantee. Remember March 4th, 2015, Spring Valley's 25th Annual Production Sale.
I'm here about the package delivery job.
But you're a reindeer.
Name's Rudolph.
Don't you work for Sam?
Yeah, but I'm looking at other options.
Why?
You heard about the Nebraska Lottery's Yuletide ride giveaway?
Yeah, when you enter non-winning holiday scratch tickets online, you'll have a chance to win a 2015 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk. And the price of your ticket is the number of entries you get. A $1 ticket equals one entry, a $2 ticket equals two entries, and so on. I'm really excited about it.
So's Santa. If he wins a 2015 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk, I can kiss my sleigh-pulling days goodbye. Catch my drift?
I do. Well, do you have any special skills?
Oh, besides being able to fly at 900 miles an hour and having a nose that lights up?
I mean, do you have any experience delivering packages?
You're kidding, right?
Must be 19. Please play and give responsibly. Jeep, Cherokee, and Trailhawk are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group, LLC. Chrysler Group, LLC is not a sponsor of this promotion.
Knowing what the weather will be is important to you. It helps you determine what you should have the kids wear to the bus stop, or if you'll have the chance to get that outdoor project completed. Weatherology.com eliminates the frustrations associated with other online weather websites and incorporates the latest social networking tools to enhance the quality of true, up-to-the-minute weather. Take Weatherology.com with you wherever you go by downloading the free mobile app for Android and iPhone. Weatherology.com, the science of weather simplified and socialized.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Here's wishing you a holiday season with happiness and prosperity throughout the coming year. This heartfelt message comes to you from Craig and Karen Axman of Axman Heating and Air Conditioning.
Heading you towards the top of the hour here on the day that Nebraska has named their new head football coach, Oregon State's Mike Riley. If you've just joined us or have been in a hole or have been working really hard and haven't had the radio on, we have extended it here from Bandits in Grand Island, where Tim has been back there, and he's working on that special shot for tonight for the Mike Riley. So when you come in the rest of the day, ask for the Mike Riley, because I want to know what Tim has got worked up here for Nebraska's new head football coach here at Bandits. Joe says, I've spent nights watching Pac-10 and 12 games, and I've seen this Riley recruit freakish-type athletes in a tough area, Oregon, UCLA, USC. His first move will tell me where we are going. Hopefully not a golf coach turned receivers coach, high school coach, or brother, just some class guys that have proven resumes. He'll get points from me if he brings a respectable staff. Go Husker football. Jeff, you found some other kind of national tweets out there that were a little humorous.
Yeah, well, they're kind of attacking defending Bo Pelini a little bit, because one of the main reasons that they fired Bo was he had zero conference championships in his 7 years. Mike Riley at Oregon State has zero in 14 years, so a lot of people are thinking that's not really a step up. Also, Bo is always pretty well known for his 9 wins, yet 4 losses every year. Well, Mike Riley is never lost fewer than 4 games, so he's always going to get you 4 or more losses. And that's just kind of those pro Bo people trying to defend Bo.
This comes from Larry in Caro. I think it's a home run for the record. What else we got here? Let me tell you that one of the things we talked about at the top with Monty Kratzenstein and Steve Anderson, Doug Duda with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show, was that I had heard that there wouldn't be a players banquet in Monty. This coming from a email from Barney Cotton. He says to parents of players that it was decided in a unanimous decision by players to forego a formal team banquet. Quote, we do plan on having a team function to give out player honors and awards, with players and coaches, end quote. Parents of players were told that Cotton and coaches will do everything they can to keep them informed of the latest development as the team prepares for a bowl game and the new coach. Cotton also says, as we closed our team meeting Sunday night, I asked our players to finish our last opportunity together by honoring God with their effort, honoring their teammates with their effort, and to show their love, loyalty, and support to Coach Bo and his family with their effort. You can preach and preach, Monty. You know it. You can preach and preach. But you're talking 18 to 23-year-old kids. Some will take the message differently than others.
Indeed. And we said that before. You know, that it's always interesting to see the dynamics of what's going to happen with that team. But and the bowl game, you don't know. I wouldn't even begin to guess what's going to happen. But I think you'll get a better feel. Again, it's only been 4 days, and they get into bowl preparations. They get down on site. They get into that day-to-day stuff. It's amazing how fast kids change. You know, they're resilient. They change. All of a sudden, I can see them throwing themselves out and saying, "Hey, I'm fighting for a job here. We got a new guy coming in. I've got to impress him." You know, I've seen it go both ways.
Trent in Ashland says the players are coming around with nice tweets to Coach Riley. DeMornay Pearsonell will be just like Jacquez Rogers, and then he goes, "Clap, clap, 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 clap. This is awesome. Clap, clap." This is awesome. Steve-O, final words before we wrap it up.
Well, I'm curious now, and Monty, thank you so much. You got me fired up. I welcome this guy with open arms.
Yeah, he's 61. Be careful.
Yeah, and, well, that makes him doubly lovely in my corner. As far as the age factor is concerned, that should never be a factor. But I guess you worry about our longevity, right, Doug? We're going to be around for a while. Monty, how does this affect those recruits that are out there kind of straddling the post, so to speak? First and foremost, Bussey, the big-time running back down in Louisiana, do you think this is a big enough catch that we may reel him back into the fold?
Well, none of us have talked to Mike Riley in person and see what kind of a salesman he is. He's got a great reputation as a recruiter around the country, recruiting to a place that is more difficult than Nebraska to recruit to. So one of the first things on his agenda is going to be him and his staff, whoever they are, to go down and meet with these players and try to resell or sell himself and resell the program. He'll have some success doing that. There'll be some commits that say, you know what, this is a guy that I'd love to play for, even though I was recruited by Bo Pelini. There will be some others that say, nope, I'm going other directions. And then what's going to happen, too, is the guys that Mike Riley was recruiting to Oregon State, let's go and look at see the guys, you know, especially probably on the West Coast. He'll go sell Nebraska, not just himself, Nebraska to them. So there'll be a lot of dynamic changes in this recruiting class. And, you know, a lot of things will change before February.
All right, folks, here's what the statement read. If you joined us just a little bit late, maybe you didn't catch the whole thing. Nebraska has hired Mike Riley of Oregon State as its new head football coach. Sean Eichhorst made the announcement around 11:30 this morning, and you heard it here first on the Doug and Daddy Show. Riley will be formally introduced at a news conference tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and we will have that for you. Interesting that it will not be in the normal spot. Instead of up there on the sixth floor in the press box, they're going to have it on the third floor club level. So you know that means the entire team can be there if they so choose, and plenty of dignitaries will be in the room as well. So instead of jamming them into a smaller venue, if you've ever been at the third floor of Memorial Stadium, it's very wide open. That's where the club seating is. You can walk out and sit outside or be inside. So interesting. They're expecting a ton of people. Riley comes to Nebraska after 14 seasons as the head coach at Oregon State with two different tenures there. He led Oregon State to 93 wins and a 6-2 record in bowl games. So 8 bowl games in 14 years. You don't have to be a genius to figure that one out. He's also been the head coach of the San Diego Chargers, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and the Canadian Football League, won 2 Grey Cups, and was also in the World Football League in San Antonio. He's been assistants at the University of California, at the University of Southern California, Northern Colorado, and a couple of smaller colleges. Also spent some time with the New Orleans Saints and played for Bear Bryant and won 3 SEC titles at Alabama. Was also on a national championship team. He and his wife, Dee, 2 children, Matthew and Kate, 1 grandchild, Eli, and he'll assume his duties immediately, but will not coach the Huskers in the upcoming bowl game. Barney Cotton and staff will get that done. So that is pretty much everything that we can rehash and tell you about right now. So now we need a football coach at UNK, Monty.
That's the next one. You think that might not create as much buzz, but now the fallout will happen, right? Now after that happened, now we can the fallout will happen, and maybe we can get a big name guy here.
Real quickly.
Yes.
I've actually heard that maybe some of the guys that want to stay in Nebraska would consider or have applied to be the head football coach at UNK on this staff. And don't chuckle. Some of them have been. I mean, Ross and Barney have both been coaches at Hastings College. So, you know, they might not be the long-term solution. But if there's two guys on the current staff that would fit with Mike Riley and the persona that we're hearing, who would they be? I think Kaczynski is an obvious one. Who would they be? And who do you just think is done? This is it for their coaching careers.
I hate to say that because it, but because I'll probably be wrong. But I, but again, I think Kaczynski, like you said, is the guy. Ron Brown, I think, is the stabilizing force that you would want to have there, along with his long term recruiting ties and that sort of thing. I have a hard time thinking that even John Garrison, who I think is a very very good young coach, I think it'd be very difficult for him. But he might be a guy because of his ties to Nebraska and his successful recruiting that he has done in the Midwest thus far. I really think it'll be very difficult for and I get upset when I hear people talk about the former golf coach they hired as wide receiver coach. Ritz Fisher could coach football. You watch the wide receivers this year and last year, he can coach football. I get disgusted with people that stereotype him that way. It'll be very tough for a guy like Ritz Fisher because a lack of connections and a lack of being here a long time, along with Warren, too, defensive backs coach who's done a great job recruiting in certain areas. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Mike Riley wants the recruiting ties that he has down in the South, so he would keep him. But I do think that the guys like, you know, the Barney Cottons of the world and Rich Fishers and those guys, you know, they probably don't have enough to stay here. But I hate even saying that because, again, these are families and careers we're talking about, and I just hate to speculate on that. That's my opinion.
All right, guys, let's wrap it up. I want to thank Tim and the gang here at Bandits. Don't forget to stop by Giant Piece of Sacks Pizza and a Soda for $4.99 is their lunch special today. Thursday night football, Cowboys will be taking on the Bears, two of Mid-America's favorite teams. Will be battling tonight, kickoff at 7:15. Enjoy Wing Night every Thursday night. They've got so many great sauces. I'll tell you what, the last time we did the show here, I ventured out on the new Greek rub that they have here. Outstanding. I recommend it. It was something I hadn't tried before. Very good. Now my mouth watering already. Don't forget to come in and watch the championship games on Saturday. Domestic beer buck, six for $12. Friday and Saturday, late night happy hour, $2 wells, $2 domestic bottles from 10 to close. And, of course, their Sunday NFL special pizza, wings, pitcher, only $20 coming your way here at Bandits. And, Steve-O, thank you so much, as always. Thanks for spending extra time. I hope the missus is okay with this.
And, well, I'll just tell her that I'm on overtime now. So that should
doubles.
take care of itself at any rate. Yeah. And I even suggested that we may not have enough to talk about as we signed on this show a couple of hours ago. It's been a pleasure. And if the invitation ever comes back my way, you can just guarantee I'd love to be on this side of the table. And it was really fascinating to get Monty's perspective all morning long as well.
The beauty of it is we're back in 2 weeks to have our Christmas show here at Bandits. So I'm looking forward to that. Monty, last thought.
No, I just want to talk to the Nebraska fans and say, you know, support the program, support the coach, support what's going on. Don't knee-jerk. Give it a little bit of time. Then make your opinion based on what you see after that point. That's to the Nebraska fan out there. I do appreciate you asking me to come on. I'm glad it worked out with my work. I got a real job, you know. I got to go out and work a little extra this afternoon just to make up for it. But I had a blast.
Well, again, it'll be a long time, I think, before I change my stance just by all the way this went down. So you can put me on record for as long as we've got this radio show. It sounds like Mike Riley is going to be a great guy, and we don't know him. We haven't met him, and we won't get to know him one-on-one because that's just not the way things work. But from you, the Husker fans, and what I've heard and why you wanted change, Mike Riley could be Mother Teresa. But if she can't win football games, you don't care who your coach is. So you've got a great person and a friendly man in Mike Riley. And I think Bo Pelini was a very good person and a friendly person, maybe just not to the media. So we'll see how it all pans out. I'll tell you one thing. If Mike Riley was listening to the Doug and Daddy show right now, and I think he knows it, Al Davis said it, just win, baby. Mike, you better win. That's all they care about here. That's all they care about, and they want you to do it with class, as our co-host said. We want to thank Luke Hoover for joining us. We appreciate Ty Swarm going back to class, and we've got wrestling coming up this weekend. We'll extend the show tomorrow. It kind of changes how we are going to do things with Nebraska's new head football coach. But 9 a.m. tomorrow is the press conference, as Sean Eichhorst will introduce the next head football coach at Nebraska, Mike Riley from Oregon State. Keep it here on ESPN for the very latest and Husker talk with Hale Varsity. Schmidt and the boys will take care of you coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock. From Bandits, this is Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us. And that's right, go Big Red.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.